Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is A Vote of Life.
Yay! Good morning, First Light Church. It's great to be with you. Why don't you just touch your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through the next 30 minutes or so with me. Let's just quickly pray. Father, thank you that you're already here. You were here before we got here. That you want to speak into people's hearts. Lord, I pray that the people that have gathered here today, Father, that you would empower and equip them by your Spirit. Lord, I know that you want to say some things in their heart. Lord, I pray that I would fade into the background and your truth would rise to the front. And we just bless you for your presence with us. Amen. Amen. The worship team, you guys did awesome this morning. Where are they? Are they in here still? Can we just give them a hand? They were amazing. That was such a great... I was just like, when they started, it was incredible. I just got to do some business really quickly, if that's okay, because sometimes when I come into spaces, God just sort of drops some encouragement in my heart. So I just got to go with that and be bold in that. And so if it doesn't make any sense, just blame God. And if it makes sense, you can thank me for it. No, that's not true. But my brother just here with the maroon thing, I saw the Lord. Can you just stand with me? I just saw the Lord put keys in your hand. And I sense that God wanting to release a fresh authority in your life. I don't know what you do. I don't know where you're from or what you're into. But I just sense that God releasing a fresh authority in your life. And he's going to open up new doors for you. That there's a new season ahead. And it's one that even though you're currently in a position where you have influence, I see God increasing that influence. And God giving you wisdom and understanding in how to function in your authority. And I see you putting those keys in other kids' hands, other people's hands. I don't know whether you work in teaching or you work in some form of communication or leadership, but I really sense God just wanting to do something fresh in you. So, Father, right now, I just thank you for your authority. I thank you for a new sense and a new season of authority, a new season of influence in my brother's life. Thank you for doors to open through those keys that you're putting in his hand, that you place him before great men because of his heart for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that made sense. Sometimes it's simple. My brother, can you stand? Awesome stuff you guys are going to do. Father, I just thank you. I just see, before you even got up and shared, I didn't know you were going, but I just felt the Lord saying there's a new mantle of leadership coming upon both of your lives, and he is going to astonish you with what he's going to do when you get home. And the settling back in isn't going to be difficult. He's already preparing a place for you. But I sense that the Lord's speaking and saying that your music and the thing that you're carrying within you is going to go into places that even you have not even imagined. I heard your songs going into the hearts and ears of government officials in Thailand. And you'll go, how on earth did it get there? But God says, I'm going to make it get there. And openings of collaboration with other people that you hadn't thought in your mind, but you're going to collaborate with people in places and that are quite prominent, and you're going to see God just blow your mind, absolutely blow your mind. So get ready to be astonished. Father, I just thank you. God, you are the God that is able to do beyond all we ask or imagine. So, Father, I just thank you for this couple that as they go, Lord, the ground ahead of them is fully prepared, ready for them as they come. Father, I thank you for leaders drawing to them, people coming around them to support the work and be part of what it is that you've placed in their hearts. And, Father, I thank you that you would keep them and you would keep their family, Father, and that your hand of protection would be upon them, Father, as they stretch out their hands. And Lord, and as they sing and as they minister, I thank you that healing comes, Father. Healing and restoration flows, Father, because of your presence in what they are doing. So Lord, I just bless them. I say amen, Father, to the vision in their heart. God, I thank you that you will not forsake them, that you are for them, that you are with them. And God, you are working even now to prepare that ground. So Lord, bless this couple in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. I hope that was okay. Okay. Could maybe do some more of that later. Is everyone all right? Okay. How many of you watch Netflix? Put your hands up. Come on. I know you're watching it. You know, there's a series on Netflix called Feed Phil. I like food. Food's a very important part of life. If you don't eat, you probably die. But the show Feed Phil, we were watching, and in it there's a place called the Arturo, I think it was called. It's in Venice. And in it, they make the best pork schnitzel you'll ever eat. Best pork steak you'll ever eat. And when the chef cooks, celebrities come to this guy's restaurant to eat in his restaurant. He's that good. And what you saw is because he loved his work, you know, he loved food, people were just drawn to him and they began to love what he was about. And, you know, you've been speaking recently about the Avoda life, yes? I hope you've been listening. If you didn't listen to Pastor Richard's sermon, I think from 2 weeks ago, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that because it was great. I got so much out of that. I'm not Pastor Richard, by the way. He's like Greek, Hebrew, all of that. I'm just like straight up Aussie. It's just coming out at you. Okay, so I'm sorry. I know I'm brown, but it's just going to come out different. So just bear with me. So listen to this. This is from R.C. Sproul. It says, we do not segment our lives, giving some time to God, some to our business or schooling, while keeping parts to ourselves. The idea of Christian life is to live all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and for the honor and the glory of God. That is what the Christian life is all about. You know that if you lived for 80 years, some of you may already be 80, but if you lived for 80 years and you went to church every single Sunday for that 80 years, when you're a baby right through, you spent an hour and a half, 1.5 hours at church or in a worship service, you would spend exactly 6,240 hours in this room. Some of you are like, wow, I spend a lot of time here. But if you go to work 5 days a week over 50 years, average 8-hour day, you're going to spend 104,000 hours out there. 104,000 hours out there. And that's not including Saturdays, by the way. That's why my wife says that you need a good working wardrobe, because you're going to spend a lot more time out there. Ladies, you should have said amen to that, okay? Because shoes are important. But the point is that the life that we are looking to live in God is not merely here. And the Avoda life, that seamless life of work, worship, and service is really about how we function out there. Our life is not compartmentalized. The life of God for us is often discovered as we start to step out and we start to move into the areas of life that we are already in. If you're a teacher, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're, you know, whatever it is that you do, sometimes for whatever reason, I don't know why it is like that, but we have somehow divorced God and worship from life. Are you listening to me? Because we have compartmentalized, we think that coming to church on Sunday is me worshiping, but the truth is every single day is worship. I said, every day is worship. I want to submit to you the thought that it's called all of life. You know, when you spend time with your children, you're worshiping. When you go out to dinner with friends, you're worshiping. Because we've equated worship with something that is just contextualized to this one space, Sunday. But if you look through Hebrew understanding, if you look through the Bible, you don't see that. You see them functioning, and that avoda life of work, worship, service is all integrated. It's all seamless. It's all flowing one into another. And so the ancient Hebrews, they had that understanding. They had that concept. So it's not surprising that they would use that one word to describe all these things. I like what Rick Warren says. Rick Warren says this. He says, work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. Avoda, depending on how you say it, is a picture of an integrated faith. Look at your neighbor and say, all of life is worship. Excuse me. See, worship's not about Sunday, even though this is worship. For some of us, it's work. For those of you who got up really early before everybody else was here and it was freezing cold and you came and sat up, you did all that stuff. Sunday is only one part of the whole thing. And I sincerely believe that this is important, but the main game is out there. When you walk out of these doors this morning, the main game is outside. Look at your neighbor and say, the main game is outside. So, and I don't know if I'm repeating some of the stuff that has already been spoken to you, but avoda removes this idea of a compartmentalized life where worship and service are separate. See, when we live with a mindset that God's presence is with us, just as much in the mundane, everyday stuff of life as it is on Sundays, we're going to have, it'll change how you live. So, I have a dream and go to New York City. I have a dream. God speaks to me, says, I want you to go to New York. I say, what for, Lord? No answer. Does anyone ever have that happen to them when they talk to God? I'm like, God, why am I going? Doesn't tell me. And then as we're getting closer to the trip, he says, you're going because of your wife. This trip is not about you. It's about your wife. So when we get there, God, you know, we're just enjoying the sights. You know, we go and visit one of the churches that are there in New York. And my wife's anguishing over why God has brought us to this place. And then 2 days before we leave, a gentleman who I didn't know and that somebody else had met for 10 minutes and introduced them to me, meets us, drives an hour and a half out from Jersey into the heart of Manhattan and takes us to lunch. And he looks at my wife, he's never met us, and he just begins to speak over her and prophesy to her for 20 minutes. And there's no way he could have known all of that stuff. And then he did the same to me. And then we sat for 4 hours over lunch because all of life is worship. And God has this way of weaving our lives into the framework of other people's lives and releasing purpose and destiny that we could never do if we just believed that he only operates in this space here. It's so important to understand that as you are going about your life, God is at work. When you get up every single morning to go to whatever job you're doing, If you have a mindset of being aware of the presence of God, of the story of God, right now, the story of heaven is unfolding above us and all around us. And when we live with an awareness of that presence, when we live that Avoda life, when we live with work, worship, and service all in, all of life becomes this adventure where we can walk with Christ and we can see Jesus move in our world. And I see that over and over and over and over and over again. Phil Hepworth from Water for Africa is a good friend of mine. I love him dearly. Guess how we connected? Uganda. In two days, I go to Uganda for 5 days for a drop-in, drop-out mission, black ops, straight in, preaching, going for it, and then I'm out. Flying 19 hours or whatever it is for a five-day trip. Why would I do that? Because God's got a bigger story than mine. God's interested in our lives so much. And when I met Phil, I didn't know that he was going to Uganda. We sat down and had coffee. Randomly, he connected with me. We sat down, we began to chat, and then he says, I'm going to Uganda just at the time when I'm thinking about it, I'm contemplating this thing. And it was crazy. Then I didn't even have the money to go to Uganda, and a business person, we're out on a boat. I'm saying all this sort of stuff to you to show you how God can just work through that every day. We're out on a boat, friends. We're out on a boat. It's Sunday. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Sunday morning, I wasn't here. I was out on the boat while you were here, enjoying the sun and talking with friends out at Rottnest. And that person says to me, he says, what are you doing at the moment? I said, well, I'm doing this and this. I'm thinking about Uganda. Been thinking about Uganda. I didn't tell him I needed any money. He says, well, what do you need? I said, oh, this much. It was a decent amount. He goes, done. As simple as that. And I was at Rottnest. It's powerful, eh? So why am I telling you that? Who knows? Hope you get something out of today. The point is that God doesn't need our stress and our striving to work. Everything that we're doing, if we live, like I said, with that mindset that everything, all of life is worship, all of what we're doing, and God can meet you in the most unusual and incredible places. It's not just here. Man. Now, don't put your hands up. How many of you, actually, don't put your hands up, but I'm sure that you've come on Sunday morning sometimes and gone, man, the worship team, they were way off today. I just did not get that song. Come on, be real now. I'm sure some of you have come in here and gone, man, the preaching. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're a lot holier than me. But I know I've been in places and gone, mate, what were they thinking? Might be thinking that right now. My point is that God does want to work in our lives in every way, in everything. And when we get tricked, I guess, seduced to believe that he only works here, we're missing out. I've been in church for 25 years. I love the church. I love this. I love when we gather together. I think it's awesome. But you know what this is? This is a celebration of everything that he's doing in our lives every other day. Can I get an amen, church? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:29, it says, do you see a person who is efficient in his work? He will serve kings. He will not serve unknown people. Avoda proclaims that reality that Pastor Richard spoke about of habitation, not just visitation. God, you know, God is here whether you feel him or not. I said, God is here whether you feel him or not. Some of you weren't sure about it. But he is. And, you know, the whole of life, all of life is worship I used to study in the city, and I had to commute in every day by bus. And I remember getting home one evening and kneeling down in my bedroom and praying. I hadn't really, and this is where this all of life thing really hit it for me. I was about 18, and I'm kneeling down, I'm praying, and I'm like, Lord, you know, began to do what you do, and he said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm praying. He said, Mark, I'm interested in your whole life, not just when you pray. And I was like, oh, I was a new Christian. I didn't understand, but I do now. Who's ever done dot to dot? Who's ever done that? Show me your hands, please. Who knows what I'm talking about when I say dot to dot? It's like those drawings and they're all dots and you got to... I think God does that. I think he does that a lot, where he connects you to this thing and then all of a sudden it connects to that, and then all of a sudden, over time, you see this big picture start to form. Who knows what I'm talking about? If you've had that happen, you show me your hands. Amen. So I know I'm not alone. If you haven't had it happen, you probably need to look out for the dots. Life is in the in-between. Anyone who's ever studied animation would know that there's a thing called keyframes. I've studied animation. I was going to go and work for Walt Disney, but now I'm here. So, you know, what do you do? Praise the Lord. But the thing is, I'm serious. I wasn't joking about that. I actually was. But the dots, they call them keyframes, and every keyframe has 24 frames in between. So all the movement is on the in the in between. They actually call it in-betweening. All the movement is in the in-between. We are so sometimes busy trying to get to the destination of the keyframe that God's given to us that we miss all the in-between. All the struggle that you're currently going through is the in-between, and God is there. All the mountain that you're currently facing is the in-between, and God is present in that mountain. He's there. In everything that you are doing, God is present. And what I want to encourage you to understand today is that the Avoda life is not us keep looking from keyframe to keyframe, but understanding that right now, in the very mundane, weird, unusual, crazy, messed up places of your world, God is at work. Can I get an amen from this house? God is at work in your space. No matter the season, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on. And I've just come to encourage you this morning, to let you know, to equip you, to get you to understand that this, all the stuff that you're in, he's there. If you quickly turn with me to John chapter 21, you know, the more you're willing to relinquish certainty in your life is when you'll actually uncover destiny. I said the more you're willing to relinquish certainty in your life is when you will truly discover destiny in your world. We are so used to having certainty, we're so used to having things in place that we don't open ourselves up for this life to flow through us. John chapter 21. I hope this is helping somebody. John chapter 21 says, later, so Jesus has risen from the dead, he's appeared to the disciples, and here he is showing up for the third time, appearing to them. Later, Jesus appears again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going to work. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. And he called out to them, hey, have you caught any fish? No, they said. Then he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. What an incredible moment. You know, I read that because all the disciples, they were fishermen. Sometimes we go through things in our life and we think that, you know, you could imagine, here's Jesus, they followed him for 3 years, their whole world looks like it's all empty and finished. And Jesus then appears to them, and then he appears to them again, and he appears to them again. And every place where he's appearing to them, if you notice, they're not at church. Just look at your neighbor and say, we're the church. You're the living stones. I said, you're the living stone. You're the people of God. You're his hands and feet. And when Jesus comes to them, he comes to them in this place where they're at work. And it's just a beautiful picture of how he can intervene in our life in the most mundane places. You know, sometimes work can be a drag. How many people put your hand up? How many of you get up, you go, oh, I've got to go to work in the morning. Who says that? None of you. I'm in the wrong church. Like, no, we do. We get those moments where it's like, oh, I just want to stay in bed, especially when it's cold. But we forget. And that's a human thing, you know. It's comfortable, but comfort doesn't help us. So I just want to encourage you. Look, here's Jesus, comes to these guys. And what I love is that Jesus shows up in the mundane part of their life. They're just fishing. But he shows up in a most dramatic way. And Jesus is willing to show up in our mundane everyday lives if we're willing to believe him and act on his words. Then he'll reveal his life and power in us. That's where you see it. They knew it was the Lord. One of the greatest keys to living and practicing an avoda life is in focusing one's awareness. So here's a key. When you and I give our attention to Christ and his purposes each day, it's impossible for our lives to remain unaffected. More awareness equals more of God's presence flowing through us each day. If we would simply practice that simple act of focusing our attention on God, we would find, or I have found, and I would say, encourage you that you also will find God showing up in the most incredible ways in your life. I want to finish with this story. Some time back, probably several years, I was in this place where I was just so tired, so exhausted from all the different responsibilities of work, of worship, serving in a church on a leadership level, you know, just not burned out, but really exhausted. And I think Every single one of us in our lives can experience times where we're just overwhelmed and we're tired and we get weary. If you're human, if you're a robot, you probably won't have that problem. But if you're human, and for me, you know, when I get up and share, I don't want to just share all the good parts of my life. I want to share all the messed up stuff in my life. Is that all right? Is that okay? Because I know you're messed up as well. You're just smiling at me and look really good, but I know you're messed up. Just look at your neighbor and say, you're messed up. Just because you're up here doesn't mean anything. It just means I got the mic. But at this time, I was just in this place, and God tricked me. He tricked me. He said, "Go, I want you to go to this church and give them this encouragement." And I'm thinking, I'm going there to encourage them. And the pastor got up, he's a friend of mine, and he began to teach. And he taught on serving. And he taught particularly from a verse which you've probably heard, which Jesus says, "The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom." And that word stuck in my heart as I left. And I went home, and as I lay down on my bed to rest my head and sleep that afternoon, I had a vision, and in the vision, I saw myself walking with God, and I was holding his hand, and I was looking at his face, and his face was radiant, and I was just amazed by how incredible he was. I just couldn't stop looking at him, and like a child looks at their father or you know, looks at their mother and they're just so delighted. They just love to look at you, you know, and they just have this delight. That's how I was in this vision, walking with God. And his hand, and I was holding his hand tightly and he's holding mine. And we were just walking. But what I noticed all of a sudden was I noticed that in my other hand I had this little bag. It was really small. And as we were walking, I began to take my eyes off his face and look at this bag. And every time I walked, every time I looked at the bag grew just a little bit. And I would turn my face and I would look at his again. And then I'd look at the bag and the bag would grow because my attention on the bag was longer. I'd look at it longer. And then after a while, I kept doing this. And then I kept staring at the bag, and the bag, when I kept looking at the bag just grew and grew and grew until I could not carry it anymore, and I actually let go of the hand of God. I let his hand go and I stopped looking at his face, and then I was trying with all my might to pull this bag on my shoulders on this path. And I said to the Lord in this vision, "What is that bag, Lord?" He said, "It's the bag of responsibility." Every single one of us have a weight in our life that we all must carry of worship, of work, of service, every single one of you, whether you're young or old. But what happened in that vision is as I put my hand back into the hand of God and I turned my face from what I was carrying to his, the bag shrank back to the size that it was when we first began. And I want to leave that thought with you this morning, that no matter what you're carrying in your life, that the simplicity of the Avoda life is as simple as turning our attention to his face. And when we turn our attention to his face, we'll be able to carry whatever it is that finds itself in that bag of responsibility. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Would you stand with me this morning? If the musicians could come. Everybody say, all of life. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you that you are here and you are with us. And that when we leave this room, when we walk out those doors, when we go back into the different parts of our lives, Lord, that we would have a new mindset that you are present in everything we are currently experiencing in this world. That we're spiritual beings, Lord, mastering a human experience, Lord. Help us, Father. I pray for this church, this community of people. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, open up their minds so that they may understand, Father, that you are at work in every part of their life. Lord, I pray that you would cause them to see, as you have shown me over many years, that you are the God who connects the dots, that you are the God that is at work in every part of our world, Lord. All the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys, that nothing is wasted, nothing is missing. And that in you, Lord, we are complete, even though in this world there is things that we must face. In you we are complete. That our starting place is always you. And Father, I just pray a blessing on every single person that's here this morning. Father, I pray that new revelation would begin to unlock in their life. Lord, I pray that there would be a hunger for you to work in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And as I came, I was thinking about you guys. I had a verse or a chapter of scripture I just wanted to quickly read to you from the book of Psalms 133. I believe this is for all of you, the whole house. How wonderful and pleasant it is. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there, where harmony is, the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life forevermore. And I saw an impression as I was lying on my bed yesterday morning, thinking and meditating upon what I was to share with you. And there was this, it said, I saw the Holy Spirit binding the house, binding you guys up together, binding you with grace and favor and love. And I sensed his heart saying to you as a church community at First Light that he desires to release a new season of blessing upon this house. that he wants to encourage you to lift up your hands as you once did, to lift up your hands again, to lift up your hearts again, to lift up your expectation again, because he's getting to do something new in this house. That's as soon as I came in, the worship leader read the scripture, "For I declare to you, I'm doing something new. Before it springs forth, I tell you of it." Would you do me a favor and just lift your hands in this place as a church? And I want you to raise your own expectation. Raise your own heart up. You know what? God meets us at the point of our expectation. He'll meet us at that place if we're willing to go there. Father, and I just thank you right now for every person here, God. I know, Lord, that you want to do something new. So I release this word upon this house. Let there be a new season upon this place. Let there be a new harmony. Let there be a new unity. Let there be a new collaboration, Father. Let there be a new sense of vision and energy and strength and power. Father, I release it upon this place in the name of Jesus. Upon every person, upon every single person that calls this place their home. I thank you for this community that would go from strength to strength in Jesus' name. And Pastor Richard and Pastor Joanne, I just want to encourage you. I just sense the Lord saying that there's going to be a reorientation of vision, that there's a fresh horizon that he is bringing into your eye line, and that there's a new strengthening. I sense God wanting to strengthen your heart. Would you just do me a favor and point your hand towards your pastors right now? Just place your hands towards them. If there's some of you who are leaders, would you just come quickly and just put your hands on their shoulders right now? Even if you're not a leader, just come on. Right now, Father, I just thank you. And I sense the Lord saying, "You've passed my test. You've passed my test, and my validation is upon you for the next part of my story in you." Richard, I sense that new teaching, and Joanne, that new teaching and understanding and curriculum courses that were going to start to be coming out of you in a fresh new way. I saw it coming out, courses and curriculum that would not only touch the church, but it would also touch the marketplace. And as you began to sit in that place of prayer and sit in that place with God, God is going to release new understanding to both of you. Richard, I saw you writing and authoring new books. It's time to write. It's time to write. And I sense the Lord saying, now is not the time to undo your seatbelt, because a new acceleration of my power is coming upon you. And the Lord says to you both, build my house. 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 Father, right now, I just thank you for this incredible couple. Father, I thank you not only for their friendship, I thank you for their leadership. I thank you for what they carry in this city, Father, and what they will carry to the other parts of this world. Lord, I pray that you would cause them to see what you see in them. And Lord, I just thank you for a refreshing, a freshness to come upon them. Father, in Jesus' name, a sense of new energy, Father, for their heart, in the name of Jesus, and over their children also, God, I pray in Jesus' name. If you're a volunteer and a ministry leader, would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now, just really quick? If you're a ministry leader in this church, you're volunteering in this church, even if you're on the sound, if you serve doing anything in this church, can you just put your hands up? Lift your hands in the air, because it takes every single one of us doing what we do to make the whole house grow. Come on, lift your hands up high, would you? Lift your hands up high. Father, I just thank you for those who serve faithfully every single week, or all through the week, God, those who are giving their lives and doing what they do, Lord, whether it's in sound, whether it's in giving or ushering or children's church or music. Father, I just thank you right now. I just declare fresh power over every single one of them, Father. Fresh power to worship, fresh power to serve, fresh power to work, God. I just thank you that this house would never be the same again, Father, not
because of me, but because of you, Lord. I just thank you for an injection of energy that is not from this world, but comes from heaven right now. Father, I pray fire over every person, Father. The fire of your presence to begin to fall upon each of them in this room right now, Father. And a new understanding of what it is that you're wanting to do in their life. Father, I bless them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your refreshing on every single one of them from when they leave this room right now, Father. Their days shall be different. Father, their days shall be accelerated with grace in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, come on, give the Lord a big shout of praise. Come on, give him a big shout of praise. Father, we bless you for it in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Richard. If you haven't registered for the Beyond Summit, that summit is really just about empowering the church to be the church, and for you to realize the story of God in you is valuable, so important, and the world becomes different when you live it out. So do that. The registrations are all open. Go online, do that. The Friday night's completely free. You can all come. I'd love to see the whole First Light family come. And I just want to thank all of you for your time and your patience and listening this morning. Bless you.